With No Problem. That's the title of the song. Okay. It's from his 1960 album, Color Changes. Terry's, of course, on trumpet and flugelhorn. Tommy Flanagan on piano. Julius Watkins on French horn. Yusuf Lateef on flute and English horn, as well as oboe and sax. Seldon Powell on flute and sax. Joe Benjamin on bass, and Ed Shaughnessy on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we'll be talking politics today. Yes, indeedy. Well, we know that we should be watching four key races in primary mode today. And those races are in Texas, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Georgia. And why are we watching and should be watching these races? Because it seems as if these races epitomize the pull and tug, the tug of war within the Democratic Party, and a new brand of insurgent, if you will, people who are anti-establishment, Democratic Party establishment, that is. So we'll be watching the races in Texas's 7th Congressional District, in Arkansas's 2nd Congressional District, in Georgia's gubernatorial race, and Kentucky's 6th Congressional District. And essentially, this is what is interesting about these four key races, that they show or they betray a schism within the Democratic Party leadership and within the party itself as to which direction it's going and whether the candidates backed by the Democratic Party establishment will win, whether candidates backed by the new burgeoning political structures will win. So we'll see. Too close to call, and we don't know in which way things would turn out, but these races are significant in this respect, specifically. But look what happened yesterday. Bernie Sanders, the two-term independent Democratic U.S. Senator from Vermont, yesterday announced he'll kick off in June, just a couple of days from now, his campaign seeking a third 6-year term. A presidential run, which many Sanders supporters were hoping for, will not be in the cards, he says. And instead, he will, as a senator, providing, of course, he wins, he will, as a senator, continue to push a progressive agenda in Congress. Well, further developments, Sanders has since said, and made it specific because there are some questions here, and he said that he intends to run as what? What did he say? He was going to run as a Democrat. Well, this is interesting, a very interesting development. Here is Bernie Sanders just last year at a CNN town hall when presidential election year 2020 was already a point of focus. Here's Sanders responding to a question from a Democratic delegate, from Pennsylvania, about who would run in the 2020 election. Here's Sanders' reply.
I became the youngest delegate from Pennsylvania, and I voted for you at the convention because you inspired me. You motivated a generation of voters by talking about issues like health care, criminal justice, and income inequality. And I'm afraid with Trump in the White House, with Republicans occupying a majority all around the country, that this is on the line. And progressives need someone to rally behind. Liberals need somebody to rally behind if we want to accomplish these policy objectives. My question to you is whether you'll take up the mantle of your presidential campaign, of our political revolution, and run for president in 2020.
Okay, it's... Chris has heard me respond to that question before, in the sense that it is much too early to be talking about that. What is important for us to be doing today is not worry about who's going to be a candidate for president 4 years ago. CNN likes that. But what we have got to worry about is how we deal with the issues that impact us today. Okay? And one of the things that the reasons I think we had success in our campaign, we also surprised a lot of people, is we talked about issues that people believed in, which the media often does not talk about and the establishment doesn't talk about it. You know what? The overwhelming majority of the American people, including many people who voted for Mr. Trump, support the ideas that we're talking about. Go to Trump supporters and you ask them whether they think it's right that so few have so much and so many have so little. Ask them if they think that we should raise the minimum wage to a living wage. Okay. Ask them if we should rebuild our infrastructure and create millions of jobs, rebuilding our roads and our bridges and our water systems. And you'll be surprised at the kind of response. What I say all over the place is that, yes, of course, there are differences in this country on issues like choice or on gay rights. And I support a woman's right to choose and I support gay rights. But on many economic issues, you would be surprised at how many Americans hold the same views. Very few people believe what the Republican leadership believes now. Tax breaks for billionaires and cutting Social Security, Medicare and Medicaid. If 10% of the American people, I'm going to ask a question, fair question. Right now in this audience, how many people believe that we should give hundreds of billions of dollars in tax breaks to the top 1% and then cut Social Security and Medicare? Please raise your hand. Chris, what's the answer? See any hands going up?
None.
That is exactly what the Republican leadership, I'm not exaggerating, that is what they believe. But they get away with that because they have incredible campaign contributions capabilities. They have all kinds of lobbyists all over this place. So keep the faith. We did very well, by the way, in California yesterday. You know, we won all kinds of seats within the Democratic Party yesterday in California. A lot of people came out. We are making progress. But the main goal is not to worry about who's going to run for president. Worry about all of you getting involved in the political process, honoring those people who fought and died for democracy. Respect people who disagree with you. But this is your country and not just a handful of billionaires.
Sounded good then. It still sounds good now, but it avoids the obvious question. How come he didn't run as a Democrat, but is running or proposes to run as a Democrat now? What accounts for this fluidity of the relationship between Bernie Sanders and the Democratic Party? Is it that he just will not fully commit to the party, even though, of course, he ended up supporting Hillary Clinton, he ended up campaigning with her, he ended up endorsing the Democratic Party's platform, even though his particular platform was very different. We remember that Bernie Sanders turned over those precious tens of thousands of votes to the Democratic Party without remaining as a steward of those votes or keeping those votes within his own clutches and, you know, kind of leased them to the Democratic Party, which, of course, failed miserably in their own districts to hold on to the Democratic Party vote. So, you know, we have to ask questions. So what happened? what made Bernie Sanders see the light? And what was that light, you think, that he saw that allowed him yesterday to come closest he's been, really, in recent years, to say, well, even though I'm an independent, I'm casting my lot with the Democratic Party. Was that a wise decision? Was that an indication that Sanders sees something that cannot easily be cured by the party itself, and this is his way of trying, given the options that are available, to use the best judgment that he has at the moment to shore up the defenses by supporting Democratic Party candidates and the party itself, because he cannot win or even hope to win as an independent? Is he playing both sides against the middle? Is he being genuine? Or is he seeing something that he's not willing to say that would come off as being critical of the Democratic Party? What accounts for Bernie Sanders at this time, although he said he wasn't going to run, and we shouldn't be talking, just last year, we shouldn't be talking about who's running for president and so forth. We should be talking about galvanizing some kind of a platform within the Democratic Party, since it has a structure. And insofar as it has a structure, why not fix the structure to make the Democratic Party electable? And we'll deal with the other stuff later. But this is the year of midterm elections. Is it just a matter of being practical about the whole thing? What's going on in Bernie's head? Well, that's what I'm asking you. What do you think happened or is happening here, where we see Bernie Sanders, who's been playing this, you know, two sides of the fence game, suddenly deciding, making up his mind, okay, I'm going to run for a third term as a U.S. Senator. I'm going to run as a Democrat, even though he professes to be an independent. What does that mean from a political perspective, from a practical perspective? What does that mean that Bernie Sanders is going to run as a Democrat? And what does that mean for the immediate future? What does that mean for the future of an independent movement, which he had started and had garnered impressive votes, made impressive inroads? Does that mean he is again abandoning that and looking to use the leverage that he had in this new formation, this new fluid arrangement for the Democratic Party? Well, of course, you have great minds out there, and I'm going to ask you to tell us how we are to interpret Bernie Sanders' declaration yesterday that he has redefined his political tactic, his political party affiliation. He's not going to be running as an independent. He'll be running as a Democrat. What say you? We'll take a break, and you'll tell us at 888-874-4888. You political, deep political thinkers out there, let's hear what you have to say right after this break. We'll be right back. listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Yatrice Lead, and we're talking about this interesting development. Bernie Sanders declaring just yesterday that he will be seeking a third term in the U.S. Senate and that he'll be running as a Democrat, not as the independent that he always says he is. 888-874-4888. From Orlando, Tony, you're on the air.
Hi, Yatrice.
Hello.
What do you make
of this?
I'm just want to, in full disclosure, in 2016, I did vote for Trump. I think I mentioned that to you a while back. What I make of this with Bernie Sanders is the same thing that I made of it on during the nomination process when Bernie Sanders pretty much is winning all of the votes in a lot of the states across America, while Hillary Clinton was beating him technically due to the super delegates or something like that she was getting. Like it was like a prearranged deal that she was getting with the Democrat Party. And when he refused to challenge her, which his supporters were wanted for him to challenge Hillary Clinton, the final process of electing the nominee. He just sat back, even though he knew he was cheated out of the election. At that point, it was obvious to everybody that Hillary Clinton stole the primary. I saw it then live. I made that out myself, even though I wasn't on I wasn't supporting Bernie Sanders. I saw that, even though maybe his supporters or the Democrats didn't see it. I saw that. Basically, what his decision to run as a Democrat shows the power of the duopoly system that we have. The same way they've had this cloud over Trump with the whole Russia investigation, pretty much I believe Bernie Sanders wasn't supposed to have the support that he managed to have during the Democrat primaries. I believe they thought they had two weak candidates that were going to go up against Hillary Clinton, and Hillary Clinton was going to get all the votes. And what they failed to realize was that people in this country are hungry for a third party. We're tired of the two-party system. They're tired of that old, you know, Democrat Party and the old Republican Party. That's why Bernie Sanders had the support he had, and that's how Trump got elected.
Yes, but he had the support, and then he gave it to the Democrats.
Yes. Now,
and then he campaigned for Hillary Clinton and with Hillary Clinton. So he was sending these mixed messages. What do you think is different in his mind now? I mean, we don't know what, you know, we're not in his head. We don't know what he's thinking. We're simply interpreting his actions. What do you think he is intending to convey about his own estimation about his campaign?
Okay. Like I said, he understands his role was to play the sideline guy. I think he hasn't changed his mind at all. I just think that the light that he sees is the light of green. It's the color green. They must be either buying them off or they have some dirt on them, because he clearly made a deal with the devil in 2016 when he decided to give up all of the support that he had. I mean, he could have easily challenged Hillary Clinton. He could have did what the Republicans feared Trump would have done. Remember when they made Trump take an oath and say, would you not go third party if you don't win the nomination? And Trump said he was the only one that didn't raise his hand. And everybody was upset about that. And he, Bernie Sanders could have easily done that. You know, he could have easily went third party and beat Hillary Clinton. And I'm pretty sure that he would have gave Trump way more of a running than Hillary would have. But I believe Bernie knows
his
place.
So his declaration yesterday means what, in your view? His declaration that he wants to run again for a third term in the U.S. Senate, and he'll be running as a Democrat.
And he's going to get his sweet spot where he belongs. I don't think he really, just like they said, they didn't think Trump wanted to become president. I don't think Bernie Sanders really wanted to become president.
All right. Well, you started us off. We have quite a few. I'm sure we're going to get some reactions, but it is your view, and that's what we're after. Thank you very much, Tony, for calling in today. Sasha from California, what does this mean in your view?
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Good afternoon.
Hi there. I'm in Los Angeles, and I've been an active Green Party member, activist, pretty much volunteer, you know, not paid or anything, for over 25 years. California was not the first Green Party state. We were maybe the fourth or fifth state to form a state Green Party. And I'll have to tell you, you know, for sure across the U.S., but especially here in California, we have the largest body of Green Party members, and in Los Angeles we have the largest county of Green Party members in the whole North America. And Bernie Sanders became quite a distraction, myself included. I donated over $800 in, you know, various smaller contributions over the course of his campaign for president in 2016. And I was so excited, you know, even though we had Jill Stein, I supported her too, but to a lesser extent. I wish now I could get a refund from Bernie Sanders' campaign, and I wish I had donated more to our Green Party candidate, who did not sell out, who was smeared by many quarters. And what's in Bernie Sanders' mind, I don't know. But to me, the moniker or the characterization of sheepdog just really fits what he did. He sold out his entire campaign constituency and acted as a sheepdog to try to keep the sheep back into the fold of the Democrats. And I don't see, you know, if somebody threw pixie dust in his eyes and he was like enamored with Hillary Clinton, he sure seemed like his tail was between his legs. So, you know, right when it counted the most, when he needed to stand up and say, hey, I'm here to represent all the people who supported me, not the Democrats. So I don't know. Sorry I don't have an answer for you, but thank you for letting me talk.
Yeah, but you're giving us an answer, and I wanted to ask you to add to it.
Okay.
Is Bernie Sanders pretty much, by saying he's going to run again, and as a Democrat, did he sign the death knell of a very promising, burgeoning independent movement?
Sure feels like it to me. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But, you know, would I vote? Well, I guess we don't vote for him in California, right? Because he's in the state of Vermont. And so, you know, I mean, I wish him well personally, but I wish that he would take a deeper look, and he's just doesn't seem transparent. He seems to dodge those questions that count the most, as you illustrated with those recordings, you know. And, you know, how much more time do we need? We've had over 30 years with the Green Party on the ground in the United States. Maybe it's not the ultimate answer, but we have a platform that is dynamic, it's constantly evolving, and it's light years ahead of anything the Democrats would dare put forward or commit to. And it's got everything that's populist for everyone, and not just for only people, but for the whole planet. But it's very comprehensive, and it's not perfect, but it's as close to perfect as we can get on a democratic process where everything that's created, every plank in the platform is created by consensus. We have committees, people volunteer tens or hundreds of thousands of hours of their time to go through these excruciating meetings to get agreement, consensual agreements of what matters. So the platform is ready, and then our process for vetting candidates is not about, can they win, or how much support can we get for them? It's how can we hold them to hold up our platform? That's what the criteria is for any candidate at any level, is do they really resonate? Will they hold up everything in our platform? Sure, they can have their special points that they are focusing on in their campaign, which should be 3 to 5 major issues, but it's a whole, like, 80-page platform that's been going on, not just in each state, but nationally and internationally. The platform is kind of the same. So in a way, it's on the ground in over 90 countries. It's something that's been evolving for more than 40 years around the world, in New Zealand, in Germany, in, you know, many countries. It's been going on in a number of countries for at least 10 years longer than the United States, maybe 20.
So now that he has made this announcement that he is going to run as a full-fledged Democrat or under the auspices of the Democratic Party, what does this now compel this burgeoning movement, which had, I mean, I think it was quite significant in its achievement in the last election. What does it compel this movement to do?
That's up to each individual. Yeah, it's a movement that's like without a leader. He disconnected the ship's helm. It's like, here we are, we're all on this ship, and now it's like, oops, somebody else took over the helm and turned it 180 degrees, and we're just stuck out in the middle of the ocean. You know, like, where are we, how are we going to go from here? I don't know. Help.
I share your pain. I certainly do. But I thank you so much for contributing today, because your insights are very useful.
Oh, I listen to it. It's part of my routine. Whether I'm working or not working, I'm listening to you live, and I tell people about you and Gary Null every single day, and I'm truly grateful, and I'm trying to increase the listenership 1-to-1 every day.
Thank you so much, Sasha. Thank you for calling in and contributing. Chris from West Palm Beach, good afternoon to you. What are you thinking about this move by Bernie Sanders?
Hi, Utrice. I hope all is well.
Thank you.
I think we need to divorce Bernie in that, take his ideas, leave him alone, because clearly the smartest thing to do, the better thing to do, would be to move on from the Democratic Party. But he doesn't seem willing to do that for whatever his reasons are. I don't know what forces him to do that. But if you like his policies, just pick them up on your own as a candidate, and us as citizens who vote, et cetera, et cetera, need to look for candidates that are not part of either arm of the Uniparty, because basically they're the same to me. There's very little differences between the two of them.
Is it possible that he has a plausible plan here, that he's going to work with what works best at the moment? He's going to go with an infrastructure that can readily carry him to victory, and so he would still be able to contribute as a progressive in Congress, even though he ran as a Democrat?
Well, submitting legislation that we like that has no hopes of passing is, I mean, I guess it feels good. It makes everybody feel good. Oh, Bernie's got this legislation, et cetera, et cetera. But the Democratic Party itself is not, has shown us time and time again, they're not interested in anything that he's offering. Anything he offers, balanced budget legislation, they're not interested in that. He co-signed the polls, I think, in terms of wanting to audit the Fed. The Democrats don't want to touch that. There's nothing that the party is willing to do to even meet him a quarter of the way. They're just they're using him, and I have to question whether or not he's using his supporters at the end of the day. I mean, he seems like a genuine person, but, I mean, you just can't really know this.
What, therefore, do you think the party that backed him, the movement that grew around him, and that would have brought him to a stunning victory, what do you think that movement is compelled to do now?
It seems as if they're almost ready to move on from him and the Democrats, but it seems as if they're holding on to a little bit of hope, for hope's sake, that maybe the Democratic Party will, you know, have this moment of enlightenment and just say, oh, you know what? Everything this guy stands for is hugely popular. He has this huge following, but they took that following and just did what Jesse Jackson did, poured them into the party, and the outcome is the same, a lot of nothing.
So you going to the point of the precedents that have been set here by Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson ran supposedly outside of the Democratic Party as an independent and did quite well, actually. And then
yes, he did.
Just handed the party the spoils of the fight. And I would use the word that you just used, betrayed. This burgeoning movement.
Absolutely.
So
I mean,
you're drawing that parallel here.
Yes, and I have to say, Bernie, along with Hillary, helped deliver Trump to the presidency because Hillary and Bernie had very little in common, and yet he stood there after he lost, and we already know the story behind that. After he lost, he's telling everybody, you know, you got to go out and support Hillary. I mean, you just betrayed everybody. The people who were for you were specifically for you because you were not her. And you were not Trump. You were vastly different in terms of your ideology, the ideas, your policies, your proposals. And you said, hey, go vote for another neoliberal candidate in Hillary Clinton. So we got Trump as a result.
Wow. Well, thank you, Chris. You have further stirred the pot. I like it. And I like your perspective. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing today. We go next to Brooklyn. Willie, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, beloved. And
good afternoon.
Aaron. This is why I've often stress that we have to, it has to be a daily basis to listen to your program and Gary. You see, because you ask what is Bernie has in his mind now? Well, he's back. Last time, he's back to set us on fire. Last time, he burned us. But this time...
Last time, he set us on fire. Now he's burning us.
Because you
well,
made
glad
it.
Glad you see you have a sense of humor about it.
But what do you think
this means when he declares as a full-fledged Democrat for this third try at the U.S. Senate?
It's irrelevant what he declares himself as. I know what he's back for. The last time he burned us, so now he's going to set us on fire. That's it. Simple. I have no interest in it. Because I already know, because you made it clear when you did the program on him and the Green Party. It's one big party. The Green, the Green, the Democrat, and the Republicans, they all work together. Because look at your president. Look at his policies. If they were any different, they would censor him. It's very simple. It's a game. We have to start our own party from the grassroots, so we could send somebody that we want. Nobody has to should be selected for us, and then we will go run. Then we run to vote for that person. That's idiotic, in my judgment.
Well, I have to congratulate you for the succinct analysis. The first time he set us on fire, and he's going to burn us.
No. The first time he burned us. Because we were for burning. This time he's going to set us on fire. That's all. It's a similar thing, you see?
Well, you know, I have to appreciate the clarity there. That's a very interesting way to put it. Thanks, Willie, for your very succinct analysis. Thank you so much for calling in. Jeff from New Jersey, you're on the air. How do you interpret Bernie Sanders' declaration?
Well, I think that we should go back and look at what happened with President Obama. When Obama was elected, you know, he actually became the most protected president and the least protected president of all time. You remember, down in South America, his people are out getting drunk. In Florida, a gentleman got on the elevator with a gun. One guy goes 200 yards up the White House the White House lawn, and gets 6 rooms deep with a knife in the White House. Like you talked about yesterday, where Trump is following the lead of the system, there's no protection for Bernie in the system. I think Bernie was told, this is your choice. They don't want the American people rising up and changing the climate, changing the way that the country is run by industry and business and rich people. You know, Bernie was a poor people's candidate. Bernie was going to change some things that would have upset and taken away a lot of money from a lot of people. And just like going back to President Obama again, he said, and he would say, make me do this. He was telling the people to write your congressman, be overwhelming to your congressmen and your senators that you make them write this policy, or you tell them you're not going to vote for them. He would tell you, make me do this, because he had no protection. Remember, the certain Democrats, I live up here in New Jersey, Democratic town, not one Obama sign during the time of the election.
I want to ask you, though.
So
all those votes that he got, you mean to tell me you don't consider them a form of protection? This is a brand new movement, came out of the grassroots. It brought a whole bunch of people together who were never before working this hard together to achieve a common goal. Lots of progress being made, lots of promise ahead, and he just kind of handed that to the Democratic Party, and now this time, as Willie would say, now he's here to burn us. This time, he's declaring up front and thereby nullifying, in a way, the beautiful movement that had begun around him, and saying, I'm throwing my weight. I'm casting my fate to the Democratic Party.
Yeah, well, Obama had the same thing. Obama won overwhelmingly. Talking about universal health care, but when it came down to it, the Democrats, the people in his own party, ran away from him. Remember the 8-6-8 blue dog Democrats that really abandoned him in that thing.
But Obama wasn't running outside of the Democratic Party.
But the thing is, even if he goes in as an independent, the security apparatus is not run by the Republicans or the Democrats. They do their own thing. The military-industrial complex runs the show. We know that because of the amount of money we put into the military, that 56% that is going to the military out of every dollar, right? So if they're running the show, and we have a man that's going to run this, running on peace, he's going to be told to sit down. And, we talk about, no opposition from the Democrats at this time, and President Trump. And you have to realize that they were in there stealing anyway, just doing it in a nice way. But now you see that Trump can do it. You see his people can do it openly and brazenly and get no criticism from the media. That's signal for you to go ahead and do what you want to do.
But let me ask you.
They're not talking because they're making their money too.
What, therefore, is this movement that was formed to support him, principally, and others?
What
should this movement now do?
The movement now is, like Willie said, and I would suggest I want to start the Independent Labor Party, another party to add to the mix, which we begin to, like in Europe, they have a lot of parties that form coalitions. When you form coalitions, you can't tie yourself necessarily to one issue or one platform. You can go to issue and issue, throw your support behind that. But that's the move in this country. The move in this country is going to be having a viable party where everyone become independent. You become independent and you vote for the candidate that reflects. We need to diversify this political process. And that's the only way that you're going to do it. We're going to have to strike. We're going to have to uprise. We don't have a choice. Again, because it doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat. Go back to Jimmy Carter and on forward. Not Jimmy Carter himself, but after Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan. And every president pretty much has behaved the same way. They're a puppet. They get in and they can affect your quality of life. But as far as moving things and to the direction of the people, we haven't been doing that for the last 40 years.
Thank you, Jeff, for calling in and sharing your thoughts today. Really appreciate it. From New York, Mike, what have you to say about this development?
Hi, Trace.
Hi.
This is how I feel.
We are, Bernie's campaign is a product of the naive and gullible American public. He wasn't dropping any pearls of wisdom through the whole thing. It was all obvious information. We all want to be able to share in the dream and, everything that he put forth about, the greed of Wall Street was just, it's known already. It's been known. So I wasn't impressed. You should be ashamed of yourself if you're still voting for Democratic and Republican just because, if we don't vote for this one, the lesser of two evils theory. And, at this day and age, if you're not looking on the internet and seeing what Jill Stein has to offer and the Greens, and there's no legitimate third party, then, there's no excuse. It's not Bernie Sanders' problem. It's not Trump is the problem. It's the American people who are still not motivated to understand the facts. That's how I feel.
Is Bernie Sanders obligated, in your view, to explain this decision?
Absolutely not. I think he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He made a massive diversion and distraction so the American people could hear a few things that they like to hear and then not pay attention to what Jill had to say. Or the Greens. I'm not just saying Jill Stein, but the Green Party. So, or any legitimate third party. Call it whatever you want. The Freedom Party, the Human Party. Call it whatever you want. But, for us to really rally around a third party, it's like going to court. I mean, you don't go to court with the prosecutor and judge. You have to have a lawyer there. The American people do not have a lawyer because we don't have a third party representing us. So I don't think Bernie Sanders is, if you can't see through it, then you don't deserve the right to vote. If you can't see through that he is just a distraction, the Democratic Party is broken, and broken for the people. It's not broken for billionaires, but it's broken for the people. And if you can't see that and you still have hope and faith and you believe things can change and we can change policy, well, then you're a dumbass. That's how I feel.
This movement that surrounded him and supported him, which was very significant and achieved so much in such a short time in terms of arriving at a point of critical mass, could it salvage the situation and by first explaining how they feel about this, about Sanders, you know, seeking a third term as a U.S. senator under the auspices of the Democratic Party, and, you know, just letting people know what happened as, from their perspective and how they might be able to salvage something out of this effort and moving ahead.
Well, I hope if they're smart enough to like the specific, you know, a few specific points that Bernie was bringing up that, you know, was good for people. I hope that these people that are supporters of him know that the Democratic Party stole the election from Bernie. You know, they can't even, if you don't believe in the, I mean, if you believe in the party or if you believe in the candidate and you don't believe in the party, then, you know, there's obviously a problem there. You know, if, and with the internet, with all the access to information back in the day, I understand, you know, you just had TV, you know, most people were just like, oh, well, you know, I like this guy over this guy. And there's a basic party rule. So, you know, you'd vote for Democratic or Republican, but not now. Not in this day and age when you have access to so much information and all these people that were supporters should have known that the Democratic Party stole it from Bernie and then been so upset at the party itself, not at Bernie, that they decided to say, hey, why doesn't a millennial make a website or an app or something where everybody can just see the views of every single person that is running for presidential candidate? Why do we not have that? Well, there's a huge campaign to make sure that we don't know what's going on. There's some tons of money thrown at the fact that if everybody really understood the facts and, you know, and the way that, say, a Jill Stein looks at the climate as opposed to anybody in the Democratic Party, well, then they would understand that, wow, we're just like, you know, we're foolishly putting our faith and vote in a party that doesn't support us. I hope people are smart enough and they're not just so distracted that they can't just really like just pay attention. You know, obviously, I don't know if you were listening today, but, you know, Gary had a good segment on libertarianism. And at one point I was kind of a supporter of it because I kind of liked, you know, the whole like non-governmental. But if you look at it, it's just another tool of the two-party system to try to divert us from really manifesting a party that really supports us. Libertarianism is a problem.
Do you consider this a great loss, a great political loss?
Absolutely not. I think it's just par for the course. I think it's just the same thing. It's business as usual, and there's a I could see through it. I just wish that 300 million other people could just see through it.
Great, great answer. I like that answer very much because it speaks to a level of maturity that we all have to have if we consider ourselves activists. We ought to anticipate these kinds of things happening. But still, it doesn't feel good when it does happen.
Well, not when you have people watching Fox News and CNN. You know, and they're, you know, worried about the Boy Scouts getting girls involved. I mean, the nonsense that goes on that really, you know, captivates the average American mind is silly. At this point, it's silly. Not when we have free internet on my phone to look at, to watch, to read, to, you know, really take part in. There's no excuse anymore. It's not the candidates. It's the people.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks so much for your contribution. Sean from New York, what do you make of this development?
Of Bernie Sanders going back to the Democratic Party? I actually think let's just put it this way, he's straight off the plantation and now he's coming back home. I think that Bernie realizes that the power of the duopoly system that we have in place, he can't break it. And I guess he just figures, go on back home and take your position in the plantation of the Democratic Party. It's just that simple. The movement that he created, it was great, but in the end, he sold out. Hillary stole the primary from him, and he stood there and took it and didn't fight her on it. He just stood there and took it. So for me, when I look at that, as great as it was in terms of the movement that he was able to put forth, it was a disappointment because, again, you sold out to a neoliberal candidate. And basically you told us, let's go back to business as usual, support the neoliberal candidate. So I think what that's done for quite a few people, I know quite a few people who are cynical about voting now, because if they can see this happen right before their eyes, what hope do they have in terms of breaking this system and breaking the duopoly and putting forth a real candidate that they can have some form of faith in?
But do you think there's a chance that Sanders, by having such fluidity between the Democratic Party and the movement that sprang up around him, that he also has some way of navigating a system in which most candidates don't have? He has a choice about situating himself and attracting support either way, whether he is a Democrat or whether he is an independent. Could that possibly be something he might be thinking about?
I honestly think at this point, Bernie, he just realizes he can't go it alone anymore. If you can't go it alone, what's that saying? If you can't beat him, join him. Well, basically, he's just rejoining the party. That's all he's doing. I think right now it's just, I'm just going back home. I can't do this on my own. And like some of the other callers said, the ideals that Bernie was putting forth, big business, military industrial complex, Wall Street, they're not going to allow it. They're not going to allow, the system is constructed that is not going to allow for radical change. So a candidate like Bernie would not be allowed to come into the system, turn it upside down, and make that kind of radical change. Hence why they had to make sure he was sidelined and the nomination was given to Hillary, who is the neoliberal candidate, which is, again, a business-as-usual candidate. So for me, it puts a bad taste in my mouth with regard to politics in this country, because it seems like no matter what you try to do to stray away and break the system, it finds a way of making sure you get back in line.
But what does that say about this new movement that did emerge and that did produce impressive results outside of the duopoly, outside of the system? Do they have any accountability here for misjudging the enormity of what it is they set out to do and the very real possibility that they could be played?
Yes, they do, because as, you know, again, as some of your callers may have stated before, we've heard some of these ideas before, okay? But, again, the system itself, it does not seem to want to embrace any kind of radical change. So as Americans, so many Americans are programmed into the duopoly, right? And it's very difficult for people to break that duopoly. It's like religion to them. Being a Democrat is like, I don't know, being a Catholic, growing up a Catholic, or being a Republican is like growing up being Protestant. You know, it's hard for people growing up in that to break those party lines or the ideology. And I think for most Americans, it's very difficult to envision a third party. Now, I could envision it, but I think the majority of the population is too married to the duopoly, the two-party duopoly system we have. And the duopoly in and of itself will not allow for radical change. So between both the people and the system, you're never going to get the change you're really, truly looking for.
Well, thank you, Sean. You're closing us out today. I thank you so much for your very considered opinion. And I listened very carefully to what you have to say, and we will continue the conversation. But thank you for introducing some new ideas for us to consider today. Thank you. And that brings us to the end of our program. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Infectious Myth with David Crowe. And we'll see each other tomorrow. And thank you in the meanwhile for being such excellent thinkers. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.